You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
You know, if you guys have listened to the podcast since the very beginning, I used to freestyle my intros. For my real OGs listening, do you remember my astrology freestyle? That was so fun to make. And I thought it always sounded so good because at the time I lived in this loft in Denver, Colorado with like 17-foot ceilings. So it always sounded like I was in a stadium and I was just truly living my Sag dream of being a rapper. And yeah, it was awesome. And every week, you know, this is before Lightworkers Lounge had more than 20 downloads an episode, half of those being my family. But I looked forward to it and I was so excited every week to come up with a new freestyle or sing a new song in the beginning. And it lit me up. And I think that was a huge reason why Lightworkers Lounge took off the way it did, is because it was something I loved, genuinely, authentically loved. And that is the key for success. If you're listening to this and you want to have your own podcast or your own blog or Instagram one day, is ask yourself, would I do this if I didn't get paid for it? Would I still say these things, post these things, create these things if only one person liked it? And my answer was always, fuck yes. I loved it. But I kind of lost that side of me because shortly after I went through my divorce and my first Saturn return, and I laugh about it now lightheartedly, but it was tough. And with my Scorpio moon, I really clam up. When I go through hard times, I just want to hide away and my creativity wanes and I just want to sit and sulk in darkness and process and reemerge and turn that pain into creativity, which I am now. But back then, I just kind of fell off the wagon with it. I wasn't the free-spirited Sagittarius self. You know, my Saturn return, my Saturn is natally in Capricorn. So it went from freestyling and having fun to, oh shit, I have to figure out how to financially support myself and live alone, be alone, start from square one when it comes to dating and friendships and career. It was tough. So I'd lost that side of me. But I'll be honest, there was also a side of me that always said, like, people aren't going to take you seriously if you rap Nicki Minaj. And this was back in early 2018. And so I would look at other spiritual self-help podcasts and they had this beautiful, lighthearted jingle intro. And they had guided meditations halfway through the show, and it was just all so light and airy. And then I would listen to mine, and I'd be like, what the fuck? What a sloppy, hot mess. Like, I can't show up in the spiritual realm like this. But it never left me, and there's still always that side of me that wants to come out and play. So, long story short, I was carousing, is that a word? Carousing on Instagram one day. And I saw someone share a hilarious meme from an Instagram account called The Country Clairvoyant. And I was like, oh, hell yes. Like, I was born in the Midwest. I love all things country. Yes, ma'am. Let's see what this is all about. And when I saw this person's bio say country fried kundalini, I was like, I'm home. This is me. There's more people out there that are like me. So fast forward, the person who owns that account, his name is Christian Bradley West, otherwise known as the Country Clairvoyant. He is a very powerful intuitive dedicated to facilitating clear vision within you and me and everybody that wants to work with him. So we're no longer wandering in the wilderness, lost, asking questions like, how did I get here? What am I doing? What is my purpose? Who am I? Christian is so gifted, as you will see in this conversation we had. And I think his gift, yes, lies in his spiritual knowledge and his complete awareness, but also in the fact that he can take such spiritual topics and bring them down to the 3D and laugh and joke about it. You know, I started Lightworkers Lounge as a way, as a community where we could just kick it and have coffee and chill. Like, this is so informal. When I reach out to guests, they always ask me, like, send me a list of questions you're going to ask. What's your bio going to be? And I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, I don't do research on anything. I just want to kick it and have a conversation. And Christian is by far the best person to do that with. And he's got such a talent with taking high-level spiritual principles and practices and bringing them down to earth. As he says, cosmic cock. Making them funny and lighthearted and real, real. And that's what we love over here at Lightworkers Lounge is authenticity, realness, the 3D stuff. You know, the slogan for the podcast is humans having a spiritual experience. So you guys are going to love this. It's such a dope conversation with Christian about spirituality, social media. He's really good with astrology too. You're going to love what he has to say about that. But here is my conversation with my fellow Sagittarius placement. Get this, he's a Capricorn. Whoa, you'd never guess, right? But you'll find out where he gets his funny bone from. Here's my conversation with Christian, the country clairvoyant. Christian Bradley West is a famous name. It just has a ring to it. I love it.
I've been told that many times before. I'm here for it. My mom did good.
Yeah. My mom did good. So did that mine. Stephanie Powers?
I think so too. I knew a Marcy Powers growing up and I always loved that last name. So yeah. And my first girl crush, I was very young. Her name was Stephanie. So
did you know Stephanie Powers is actually a famous actress from the 80s?
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. I always get asked, are you related? Is that your mom or your aunt? And being the Sag I am, I was always like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, same for me with Adam West for Batman, the first Batman, you know? Yeah. Yeah. You're related to Adam West? I'm like, yeah, he's my dad.
Yeah.
Batman's my
dad. It is my daddy. He's whatever, though. No big deal. Yeah. So, your Instagram, the country clairvoyant, I fell in love with you as soon as I saw your bio say country fried kundalini.
Thank you.
You come up with that. When I got your birth information, your birth chart, I was like, there's no way he's a Capricorn. There's no Capricorns aren't funny. Right? They're cold. They're dry. But then I saw your whole chart. I'm like, he's a Sag moon. He's got his Mercury in Sag. Like, there it is.
Yeah. It is interesting. I have relied on my moon a lot more in relationships too. I did a lot of transits, like to look at synastry. And if you activate my moon in some way, like it's a go, you know, like Shanti's Sag too. And I'm just like, oh, like, you know, so it's interesting how that works. But I do, as you probably saw, I have Saturn and Virgo in the third house. And then of course my son is in the sixth house. So in the Virgo house, you know, so I struggle. I do oscillate between like this intense, like, fear and self-loathing kind of like criticism to this. Nothing matters. Why am I worried about this? Let me laugh at this. And,
The polarities. So. That's so true. You know, I have a Scorpio stellium and a Sagittarius stellium. So I've got Scorpio and Sag. It's like, how do I balance? I want to be gothic and hide from the world and
exactly
rub a crystal ball. But then I'm like, you know what? I feel like freestyling Nicki Minaj on my Instagram today. What's good?
Yeah. Well, there's that. Yeah. And I always say like, you're the goth and the hippie all in one. Like, I love that.
Your stellium in the sixth house. The sixth house is Virgo, and it always rules being of service. I just learned in astrology school that the sixth house is like earth angels. People with stelliums here, they love holistic health, and they love just being of service to others. How do you think your stellium shows up in your life?
So I think that's a part of it. I also have, I think my Mars, it's my Mars, not my Sun, that's in direct opposition to my Cancer rising. So I do show up. I used to joke like in relationships, like I'm the submissive, like I'm going to be the Hausfrau. And like, you know, like that's what, so like those two aspects playing off of each other, it's like, yes, like I want to be Mother Mary, like bring me your huddled masses, like I will heal you. But what I've had to learn, and there's with my Scorpio, if you saw, I have Venus and Scorpio in the fifth house. So I've got some prostitute going on there too. So, you know, I can get fucked really fast if I'm not really careful about my energy and what I'm doing with it. And it's intercepted, which is to say, for those that don't know, my Scorpio is contained in the fifth house. So it's kind of, and then I have Chiron and Taurus in the 11th house, the house of relationships, collective, so forth. So I struggle between like what's my, again, another conflict. It's interesting. This seems to be what's coming forward, because it's something I woke up thinking about, interesting enough, the conflict between like what's mine, what I want to do with myself in my life, and how is that of service to the world?
Oh, so. Look at that. Look at your beautiful interpretation of astrology.
Oh,
I love it. You know, I have my Venus in Scorpio is in the sixth house too. And I definitely,
I love that.
Every time
Venus
I get
Scorpio
into
Scorpio crew.
Yeah, it's Venus in Scorpio. And mine in the sixth house, not a prostitute, yeah. But I want to fix all of my partners. I'm like, here, let me alchemize your pain into lessons.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that is an aspect. I have a handful of other friends who are Venus in Scorpio, and that is a Venus in Scorpio aspect. I'm gonna help you alchemize this, and I'm gonna help you alchemize it whether you want to or not.
Yeah. Oh, of course. My poor partners. They look at me unless, well, the partner I have now, he's got a Scorpio moon. So he enjoys it.
So he gets it. Yeah.
He does. Yeah.
Good.
Him and I both have a Scorpio moon, and we got matching Scorpio moon tattoos like a month
after. Oh, I love that. That's yummy. Yeah. I love Scorpio and Taurus moons. I think they're some of my favorite because you guys are so deep and just naturally and easy to commit, which I like. You're not like, oh, do I want this person or not? It's like when you decide, you're like, nope, this is my person, this is what I'm doing. Well, and it's similar, they sit on the same axis, right? Scorpio sits across from Taurus, so
sister sign.
Exactly.
Well, your chart's interesting because you've got some sister sign action. You got the Capricorn sun, but your rising is in Cancer.
Yes.
Whoa. That's conflicting.
Well, and then sitting in the center is my south node in Pisces is conjunct my midheaven, and then my north node in Virgo is, of course, what do they call it? It's not, what do they call the bottom of the chart? Not very many people look at that, but I suddenly forgot the name for it.
Line.
And then, so those two things are there. And then, south node conjunct my midheaven crossing my chart too. So I have like that crossing that and the sun and the ascendant crossing there. So yeah, it's an interesting combo. I think, again, it goes back to what I've struggled with, especially coming more into this role of whatever you want to call it, spiritual teacher, whatever it's called, just spiritual being essentially, and showing up as that in front of people. What I've struggled with is what I think I need versus what's actually necessary to step into the role. Like, am I going to do this or am I going to be selfish and be like, no, I still want the husband and the babies and all those things.
Yeah.
But does that really serve my interest here?
Ooh, so yeah. Cause Capricorn wants to work, figure out my purpose. Cancer wants a baby and a home life and a family.
Exactly. And my north node being in the fourth house, like the Cancerian house, I am walking into that home life, but I have to show up through my midheaven and that south node first.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And then Neptune is square, my midheaven and my nodes.
Ooh.
So Neptune and Sag in the sixth house is square that. So that's something. And right now Neptune and Pisces is conjunct my midheaven square my Neptune. So it's been quite an interesting journey for the last few years.
I can just imagine the people listening to us right now who don't know about astrology and they're like, can you translate that to English, please?
Well, so let's do it. So Neptune and Sag person tends to be very psychic. Sag is all about the truth, right? It's the embers of the fire. You've gone through the fire. So you've learned the things, and the Neptune is rules Pisces, right? And so it's higher spirit. It's the planet of higher spirituality. My favorite analogy for Neptune energy is it's the junk drawer where you can see everything, but you can't find a damn thing. Or it's the void where you can't see a damn thing, but you can find everything.
It's missed. And
yeah. Well, and there you go. And so, it when I started doing this stuff with my Mercury and my moon, and I forget which asteroid it is. It's not is it Ceres, Ceres? It's S-E-R-I-S, I think is what, how it's spelled. Yeah. It's connected to witchy stuff and like where your witchiness sits. It's also in my sixth house in Sag, conjunct my moon, I just learned. So I was like, oh, I'm like, was primed to be witchy from the get-go. Yeah. And here I am when Neptune squares my Neptune, I'm stepping into this role of spiritual being. And of course, with it conjunct my South Node, I have to, the South Node, guys, is the midheaven's how you show up in the world ultimately. And not necessarily how people see you, but how you decide to show up. So I'm showing up as this Pisces person. And then you, with the South Node is like past life stuff, right? Like what I bring into this world. North Node is where we're headed, is in evolutionary astrology, if you believe in that. And so with Neptune square those aspects, a square is a 90 degree angle. So it requires effort. It requires action. It's like you're standing, if you're standing on the side of a building and you need to enter the building, then you have to walk around the building to get to the door. The door is not accessible unless you walk around the corner, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what a square is. You have to walk around the corner. And so with my Neptune there, I have to essentially, and I was told this for years, that I have to approach everything from spirituality. I cannot do it from the world of form. I have to step behind the veil, essentially. And that's also Neptune. That's the void. Step behind the veil and see beyond your sight. You can't always rely on what you see. So that's been a struggle for me. But when Neptune squared my Neptune this year, or no, not this year, like 2 years ago is when it started, because it's like a 4 to 5 year transit. When that happened, I was like, I think it's about that. It depends on where, what degree your Neptune's at. But I was like, oh crap. Okay. This is what I'm doing now. Like I can't help, like dead people started showing up and my mediumship skills just exploded. And I was like, oh, this is what I'm doing. Okay.
Wow. You know, my midheaven is in Pisces.
Oh, I love that. So you're not Cancer rising then. You're
Taurus rising.
You're Taurus. Okay. And you're my, okay. So do you have an intercepted sign then somewhere? That's no. Interesting. No.
No. I'm just a very eighth house dominant.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. I love, so your midheaven is Pisces too. I love that. Okay.
No, it's Aquarius.
Oh, it's Aquarius. I thought you just said it was Pisces. So
no, okay. My north node is Pisces.
Oh, your north node is Pisces. Oh, okay, yeah. North node. So you're born around 88 then?
Yep.
Right?
Or, look at you. What in the Capricorn six house stellium calculations in your head? Damn.
I just remember, the more I do this, I just remember the year. So yeah, so you're Pluto in Scorpio too. So
yes,
that's in. Yeah. Your generation wants to make everything to the surface and expose it.
You're Pluto in Libra, right?
I am. Yeah.
Because you're 78. We're exactly 10 years, a whole generation apart. So what is your generation's role? Pluto in Libra?
So I'm weird. I'm born toward the end of it. I'm maybe in the smack dab in the middle, I think, actually. But I'm born toward the end of Generation X. And I was dating a guy once who was taking a marketing class and he was studying the generations and he came home that day from school and he said, "You are not Generation X. You are a millennial."
You're 19 degrees. You are at the tail end, but you're 19 degrees.
Yeah. So. Well, but as far as, so I figured out around, if you're born around the age of 77 to 80, you're considered like an X-lennial, like a Generation X and a millennial. And so I'm on the cusp, but what I'm finding Pluto and Libra generation is that we're here to span the bridge between the old generations and the new. And Pluto and Libra, it's not exactly happy there. It's almost like, to me, it's almost like a bomb, that's wanting to go off. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of energy that is contained that is really at this point in time, as most of us are entering our 40s, that's ready to go off, that's ready to go, okay, and support the younger generations and in their rise, in their own alchemy and their own transformation. So I think this is not unusual. You know, I've looked at a lot of spiritual teachers like Wayne Dyer, Eckhart Tolle, even Oprah, Louise L. Hay, Don Miguel Ruiz, around the age of 40 is when, around when their books were published, you know, is when they really stepped into that role. And even Oprah around the age of 39 said she was very suicidal. She didn't know what to do. It's when she took her show in a whole new direction. And it really became what we know as the Oprah Show today, when she would interview these spiritual leaders and really start to move in that direction. So I think that's interesting.
That's around like your second Saturn squares, like 36, 37.
Oh yeah, which is not fun at all.
What happened to you, your first Saturn return? Anything?
Yeah, so I left a relationship. I went bankrupt because I trusted a person that took advantage of my credit and all of those things. It was insane. I really was young, dumb, and in love, and very, very much so. I can be very gullible and remarkably trusting. At least I have been. I've had to learn to be very skeptical and use more of that Venus in Scorpio, which is like, what's this about? What's underneath the surface? Like, yeah. And to peer underneath the surface. So, I don't want to sound pretentious, but I will say I came to a point in my life where essentially I was enlightened for a moment, very, very briefly though, because what I came after going through such intense, those years were like this mini little golden age for me for a moment. I had this intense sense of dissatisfaction. Intense sense of dissatisfaction that was under the surface, that was deep inside of me. And so around my first Saturn, like around the, 33, 34, Saturn, you know, strikes you again. You kind of have this recapitulation of your return. Even before that, I left my boyfriend at the time that I had been in a relationship with, who was a really good guy. I don't know. I was just like, and I just blew some stuff up. I lost my job. Like, I don't know if I necessarily blew that up. I think that was just coming with the economy and all that stuff, because it was a recession, or we were still feeling the after effects of the recession in 2011, 2012. So, you know, and what that led me into was what I've done is come full circle and kind of return to where I was in my late 20s, to that point where nothing gets to make me miserable. But I forgot one element, guys. That includes myself. And that includes really that nothing makes me miserable except for me.
Ooh, ours. I wish I had like a little sound.
And so that was really challenging. That's been like, wait, I'm the one making me miserable. No one else can make me miserable. Yeah. I'm the person. I'm only agreeing to the misery and the suffering. So the, you know, it's funny how we access that awareness within ourselves. And again, I've had to make it conscious.
You have Pluto in the fourth house. And my next question was, how did you get into spirituality? Something tells me it has to do with your childhood.
Yeah. So fourth house Pluto, I popped out of my mama with trauma. Like, it was just... I was just like... I did. Pluto fourth house. I was like, oh, we getting trauma porn from the get-go. Okay. I am too young for this. I'm not supposed to be watching this. This isn't right. And I'll say this, I've been reading a lot of charts recently with people with Pluto in Capricorn in their fourth house right now. And I'm really having feelings for them, because I'm like, oh my God, like you're having to go through it now in that home life, like things shifting, people moving, people not feeling settled in their home, all that stuff. I was like, crap. And then you got to move through the fifth house. And then I was like, that is uncomfortable, which will probably, you know, it's a slow moving planet. So obviously, you know, it's going to take a while for it to, I think Pluto is an access point of our transformation. So yeah, I came into this world recognizing suffering and what that was. And I was always interested in things. You know, people that have heard me talk before on other podcasts will know that I had essentially a caller, my godmother, who's a friend of the family, who worked in a metaphysical bookshop. She was into astrology, cards, and all that. So that kind of moved me in that direction. And then I guess the beginning of the spiritual awakening actually was when Saturn moved into my moved into Aquarius when I was like 12, which is interesting because I'm coming to a circle now, because it just moved into Aquarius again now. And my Aquarius is 0 degrees. I think it's 0 degrees on my eighth house. So when that started happening, I started to realize I was gay. Well, hello. eighth house sexuality, right? So that, and oh, and God, did I have a Saturn moment. I was full of anxiety. I was like, oh my God, like, who am I? I'm going to hell, you know, being very much so based. The primary role of religion in my life was through Christianity. And so I had all these conflicts show up then. And then I got sick with Crohn's disease because I was literally so stressed all the time. So then my gut went haywire. And that's when I really started to get like essential oils, herbs, really connect with that body, sixth house stuff. And of course, for those that don't know, I'm definitely a sixth house boy. My degree is in exercise science and nutrition.
There it is.
Yeah. So so through the illness and all that, it brought me not only more into spirituality, but more connecting with my body, which is something that I teach to a lot. It's funny, Christians got it all wrong. And a lot of spiritual traditions from my perspective have, if we can say it like that, or they made the mistake or missed the mark, is that when Christ talked about denying the flesh, he didn't mean your body. What he meant was don't be caught up in the illusion of the world, essentially. Don't let what we see, the form nature, the flesh, get in the way. And so that doesn't mean don't connect with it. Don't be with it. And a huge part of spirituality is being in your body. And that's the feminine aspect, the mind being the head, right? The thinking, and then the body being more of the feminine, the receptive principle.
That's exactly what you say on your website, which I loved, that you're a spirit guide, a spirit guide in a meat suit.
Yeah. So the balance of the two. And we really all are ultimately, you know, we really are angels for each other in some fashion, if we choose to be. So I've just chosen to be. Again, I've made it conscious. I'm like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing now.
Yeah. You and I are so similar because I have a sixth house stellium too. Not as much activity as you do, but I was a holistic health coach before this. I helped women with their thyroid. Yeah. I always gave people healthy diets, gluten-free, vegan, this, that. And then I realized through my client sessions that everybody knows how to be healthy. They know how to move their body more. But the real issue was their relationships at home, was them working a career they had no passion for, was childhood wounds they refused. And I thought, okay, all of my sessions, we don't talk about food. We don't talk about diet or working out. It was all emotion and spirituality. Yeah. And so I just thought, you know what? I want a podcast where I can share some of these stories from clients and my own that I hear about. Yeah. And then it just... You know how Lightworkers Lounge really kind of went viral and grew? Is I went through a divorce during my first Saturn return.
Thank you.
And
there you go.
Oh,
Christian. I relate.
During my first Saturn return, it lasted from April 2018 to September 2018. April, I filed for divorce. In June, I got laid off from my job and lost my apartment. And then... Yeah, I just lost everything. My whole world just turned upside down. Yeah,
so
and then
so similar story. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. But Lightworkers Lounge really took off when I walked out of the courthouse after signing papers and everything was finalized, done. And I went to my Airbnb and I closed the door and just hit record on the microphone and just vented about what it felt like to leave the courthouse and be separated from someone after 11 years.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, that's a long time.
I still haven't listened to that episode, but I kept it up because so many people resonate with it, but I'm not listening to it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. There's a lot of things I've recorded I would get inspiration for podcasts, right? I haven't re-recorded them, but some of the things I just realized I need to just say. So I just started recording things. I will never become a podcast. It's just my thoughts. That questions, so forth. And I don't go back and listen to them. I have a lot of journals I don't go back to. It's interesting how we don't do that. Although I'm sure at some point in life I will, but it's almost like, it's an odd feeling.
Why do we do that? You know, my partner, he's so supportive of me and he loves to listen to my podcast, especially my solo ones, because you know who you are on the microphone when you're channeling is a completely different person than who you show up as to your friends or to your partners. And so he loves to listen. And I'm like, you cannot listen. You cannot play it on Bluetooth while we're cooking dinner or while we're riding in the car. I cringe.
Isn't that funny?
Why? I can listen to my interviews like this. That sounds normal. But the ones where I channel and I'm by myself, oh, hell no.
Yeah. That's
interesting. Why is that?
You know, I don't know. There's something about actors talk about it. You know, there are some actors that don't watch their performances. They're just people that do that. I think sometimes it's an integration thing. I think it's about accepting that this is what we're doing, and it's okay if all the stuff comes out, because when you're here in relationship with me, there's more of a balance. But when it's by yourself, it's like, oh gosh, is that, like, people are going to hear that? Like, what are they thinking? What did I say? Like, oh my gosh, like, even me constantly, even posting memes or whatever, I go back, sometimes I get nervous about, like, oh, what did I say? What did I do? Even my meme yesterday, people were upset because it had sage and it involved potential appropriation. Well, absolutely. Depending on where you're standing. And I was like, oh, I have to reconsider this. So even like with that, I have to question everything I do.
Yes, you know, I was just going to bring that up next, because I have your Instagram right here. Your memes are hilarious. You and Shanti. Oh my God. You guys are so funny.
Our Sag. Yeah. I think she has Mercury and Sag too. So we both are doing it.
Oh yeah. All three of us. Mercury and Sag.
Yeah. There you go.
I used to struggle, because the beginning of Lightworkers Lounge, I used to freestyle my intros, and I love it. I love hip hop, and I love being goofy. I love taking serious spiritual topics and making them lighthearted and funny. Sag energy. But then I worried. I was like, are people not going to take me serious if I'm rapping Nicki Minaj? Are people not going to, like, hire me to be their coach if I post funny memes that are somewhat inappropriate?
Yeah, so that's an interesting thing, because actually Shanti and I had this discussion very early on, and she said, people aren't going to take me seriously. And I said, are you, and she started out as a client, and still I read for her. And she said to me, I looked at her and I said, you are literally getting a session with me from me making you laugh and being goofy. I was like, and you feel that what I have to say is the truth for you. So, and she was like, yeah. And I said, well, why is it going to be any different for you? So, you know, it's about maybe you could say the tribe finding you, the people finding you, the people that don't get it, don't get it. So I struggle with this, because I'm like, okay, I have to be aware. If I'm not being hateful, if I'm not being rude, if I'm not being disrespectful, things like that, then the people that come at me, that's their stuff. You know, and the people that are upset are the people that don't care for me, the people that I never hear from, that are like, oh, this guy doesn't resonate with me. I have to be okay with that. You know, I think each of us has to be, because the people that want us, the message that we have, they'll find us. And the way we do it, they'll find it. It's really about trusting that what's necessary is necessary.
Yeah, I love that. And you're right. Your vibe will attract your tribe. I always say the right people who want to work with me will find me, book a session. That's good. I need to hear that.
Always.
You know, you have over 30,000 followers on Instagram. That's a lot.
And yeah, thank you.
I find, I love it. I have a love-hate relationship with social media, because I'm Lightworkers Lounge is over 280,000 now. I can't comprehend that. But anything I post, somebody, I will post something that says, have a good day, and somebody will say, my cat just died. How dare you tell me to have a good day? And I'm like,
it is. It's true.
I can't. Yes, actually, right before our call, I had to let off some Sage steam, because on my personal account, I posted just a really cool, like, totally neutral, lighthearted story about how I've been randomly calling my pug Mushka. His name's Jeffrey. And it just flies out of my mouth, like, Mushka, come here. And then I finally stopped and said, where the hell did that come from? And so I Googled it, and the first thing that popped up was Mushka, a German doll. And there was this whole past life connection to it.
Yeah,
it's a layered story, but it's cool. Yeah. And so many people loved it. But then there were a couple who were like, I'm Russian, and that's a Russian word. And we saw that you got it from Urban Dictionary. How dare you give false information? And it's like, oh my gosh, it's a lighthearted story about my dog.
Yeah.
How do you handle people like that? Like, where's that meme that you said it had sage in it? Did you delete it?
I did. Why? Today. I really thought about it. I'll tell you this, because this is what I was going to say, so it's coming up. I walk the line, like you, between the sacred and the profane. And I struggle with being inclusive because I don't want to be exclusive, obviously. I want safe space for people. And and it's interesting on social media, it's odd how you will get one person come after you and it's like you'll get 30 or 50. It's bizarre. So people continue to comment, some very negative, some very hateful. It's very interesting that people who are like, you're appropriating, I'm going to hate on you, like, because I feel like you hated on me. It's very double standard and very odd that, you know, it's okay. So I thought about it. I considered it and meditated on it. And was like, okay, you know, sage is sacred. I even have a book called Sacred Sage that was written by, you know, a native person who I think was in Virginia. I bought it in Virginia. It was self-published years ago. I've been working with sage since I was a teenager. It's been something that has been a part of my experience. I learned all of those things. And to me, of course, for those that follow me know that I incorporate a lot of sexuality into what I do. Talk about root chakra things, you know, like getting your root chakra balance, all those things. So, you know, to incorporate a very sacred, you know, if I want to call it an object or a sacred experience with sexuality, that was one thing I think that triggered people too. It's like, oh, well, you can't have those two together, because that's true. And not just in Christianity, in a lot of religious things, it's like sexuality and spirituality are separate, like don't combine them. And oh my God, how could you? And you're a white boy, although people don't know where I come from or anything in my genetics or my background. But I present as this Anglo-Saxon, you know, and most of my lineage is Scots-Irish, I will say, but they have no idea what else plays in my life or what else I consider. And so today I just pause, and I knew we would talk about this because it is a struggle sometimes between, okay, am I going to capitulate? Am I going to let these people get to me? And I'll tell you, whenever I post something that I don't let it get to me, I go, okay, I tune in and I go, am I being considerate and respectful here? And how do I want to approach this? And how does this look down the road? You know, and I don't want people to feel like they are being made fun of in any way, shape, or form at all. And granted, so like you said, you can't win for losing. Sometimes people are going to come at you no matter what. You could just be like, have a great day, hope everything's going great, and then people will come on your feed and tell you how depressed they are, and I'm struggling with depression. Again, people don't know that I've struggled with as well. Like, I get it. So, you know, what worked for me might not work for somebody else, but you know, it's interesting. And so I thought about it long and hard, and I was like, okay, I'm going to, even though you don't know if that's a native, you know, indigenous person or not using the sage in the picture, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just like, I probably should be considerate about what this is, and not considerate as in I felt I was being disrespectful, but considerate in that, okay, where is this going to take me down the line? And do I want to talk about this, you know, 5 years from now? Yeah, do I want someone to bring it up and go, you posted this, you know? And of course, my response would be, I was a different person. But then I also didn't want people to say, like, because people are doing it with people's Twitter feeds and things like that. So if I, you know, Jupiter is about to go over my midheaven with Saturn. So there's some expansion that's about to happen for me. So I'm like, and over that south node and opposing that north node. So I'm like, okay, more people are going to have eyes on me soon. And I'm going to have to consider what that's like.
Yeah. You know, mine just went over my midheaven on Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. And I can kind of feel it. I just got the podcast back up and running, and I have my personal account has been growing. Yeah. But gosh, you're scaring me now. The things that I've posted I can only imagine, like, exactly what you said. If someone comes at you like, hey, you posted this sage meme a year ago, you'd be like, yeah, I don't know who that person is. I'm completely different now.
Well, and so, yeah, it's true. And my thought is, I love Glennon Doyle said something, you know, she, the writer, and she said, you know, I'm sorry, I'll do better next time, or I'm doing better. I'm learning, I'm going through this. And so, you know, for me to do that, I thought it was cheeky. I thought it was fun. I thought it was hilarious. And for me, I regardless of where the spirituality information comes from and what it's doing, I'll use it. Because it's I've been exposed to so many different things in my journey of, you know, 20 plus years that to me at this point in time, everything is game. Because again, what's the sacred and the profane? And if we hold anything too precious, it turns into judgment. It turns into the need to be right, to defend, yeah. which is goes straight back to ego and fear. So
absolutely. Yeah, you're right. I think the last time Lightworkers Lounge was really under attack, and I didn't even know. I posted a quote by J.K. Rowling, and I had no idea that there was this huge movement to cancel her. I had no clue, and boy, was I attacked. I was called a homophobe. My brother's gay. I was called transphobe. I mean, I thought it was a beautiful quote. It was something about hitting rock bottom, began the new part of her life. It was a beautiful quote. But I woke up to floods of people just accusing me of being hatred. And like you said, I was a privileged white girl. And I was like, I live in a motorhome. I'm not privileged. But it was terrifying. And I immediately said, I'm sorry. I have no idea what you guys are talking about because I don't follow news or mainstream media, but I will research it and educate myself right now. And it was scary.
And the privilege ultimately, for those that are listening that don't know, you know, privilege comes from, it's like we didn't have to deal with whatever they had to deal with, the person of the color of skin or the gay person. Like recently, Annie Proulx, the writer who wrote Brokeback Mountain, has been very upset with gay people who are wanting to rewrite the narrative of the characters Jack and Ennis to have a happy ending, because it's a very sad, very tragic ending. But a lot of us in the gay community, and even in the trans community, are very upset with these depressing, sad narratives that have followed us for generations because we haven't been able to express ourselves the way we wanted to. And so we do want to rewrite the narrative. So I want to tell Annie Proulx out there that this is not about Jack and Ennis. This is not about Brokeback Mountain. This isn't about destroying your story, because her story is a historical document from my perspective. Yeah, we had to go through that. But we get to change the narrative now. We get to write something different. And from my perspective, in some of her discussions, she sounds very privileged, because I'm like, you haven't lived it. You don't know what it's like to be called faggot. You don't know what it's like to be beaten up and bullied by that. So those of us that have don't want to live that way anymore. We want to come out, we want to be out, and we want to be, as they say, proud about who we are and shine that light. So I understand from that perspective, people that have felt oppressed, and because I have been oppressed in this life for being a gay man, you know, and even walking the line of trans, and I walk a weird line because people are like, well, you're not trans. You present as he, him. And I go, well, I had to decide to be he, him because I thought I was a girl for a long time. I was born thinking I was a girl. So I had to consciously choose to step into my masculine because I identify with the feminine. I wanted to be a girl. And I thought for a long time I would go through the transition. And I decided at some point in time, I was like, no, I think I'm going to choose this male body. So my trans story is a little different than the average trans story.
But that's incredible. You chose to step into the masculine. Have you ever been triggered by things online enough to like write a mean comment or share something? And me neither. And sometimes I wonder like why. Like when I see things, I do see things that make me like, whoa, they make me lift my brow. But I'll never attack them through the comment section. I'll just unfollow and move on with my life.
Well, I have had... In the beginning of this journey, which has come up this week for me, I had a lot of things go viral. A lot of things go viral in the very beginning. I still see it circulating. And people who took my watermark off, who didn't point back to me, all those things. And it's not just memes, it's my quotes. People would take my quotes out of my comment section, turn it into an image, and then it would float around. It happened a lot. I saw it the other day. I saw one of them. I was thinking I was going to do a post about it. And that was very, you know, being essentially coming into this as a neophyte, as a very, in my nascent beginnings of being a social media person and having my things taken was very hurtful. And so it happened once. I went after an account. She erased my watermark, put her watermark on it, and promoted her account through that. Now, this has happened many times since then, but I learned that it doesn't matter. people are going to do that. It's not for me to do. Although I did message her. What was funny is she ended up just blocking me when she found out it was mine. She didn't want to have the, I did DM her and have the conversation, and she wouldn't have that conversation with me. So that, you know, so I did try that and from that perspective once, but as far as being triggered and what people say, like with my little Annie Pruhl rant there for Brokeback Mountain for a moment and the whole gay thing, like I will speak out if I feel like there's an injustice or I feel like there's something going on. I spoke out very early on about the Black Lives Matter things, which I have over the years, which people don't know. What people don't know, I have a Black stepmother. And I'm very aware of what, and have had many discussions over the years with her about what being Black is. And also well, my very best friend on the planet is a Black man. And I learned very early on, one of my trip ups speaking of that is I did use the N-word once. I was like rapping, I was singing out of a song or whatever. And I remember him looking at me, we were in the car. I was very young. It was like early 20s. And I remember him looking at me going, "You never get to use that word." And David Chappelle was very big, you know, the comedian. Yeah. And he was using the N-word a lot on his show. And so I said, I think it was a David Chappelle thing. And he looked at me and he was like, "You never get to say that." And so I had to learn a lot very young about what it was to grow up as a Black man in America. And then from my stepmother, what it was to grow up a Black female. So I have been schooled. The universe is like, "We're going to school you, boy," very early on about what this is. And the best way I relate to it is being gay, which is something I couldn't hide when I was younger, and being called faggot regularly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. My brother, he finally came out as gay at age 32.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Which was just a couple of years ago. And I can't imagine people bullying him for it. Oh, it makes me nauseous to even imagine. So,
yeah. Ugh. Yeah. It's difficult.
It is. And I know part of your services, you help people clear expressive blocks. It sounds like you had to go through that yourself.
So everything I talk about, everything I offer, I have lived. I have not just, you know, even in my candid speaking of the things I'm talking about today, I don't want to hold anything back. I want to be as transparent as possible with people and go, "Hey, I've been there." And even now I say to a lot of people, "I'm in the trenches with you. Like, I'm going through this spiritual practice just like you are. I'm going through my awakening. I cannot say I'm awakened, because to me, I differentiate between awakening and awakened. An awakened person sustains that awakening. They're not taking naps anymore. They're not being triggered anymore. They're not allowing their trauma to get in the way, or as they might say, your ego or your fear. So I still have that. I still struggle with that. And so I'm still in my spiritual practice, which even if you're awakened, you're in a spiritual practice. Paramahansa Yogananda used to say, "Never stop meditating." He was like, "You never stop. It's not all of a sudden you're enlightened and you're like, 'Oh, I'm here. I've arrived,' right? Because the minute you think you've arrived, that's what people might call the ego, and you're asleep again."
Back to square one. Exactly. Now, you also help people set boundaries as an empath. Do you have any boundaries with social media as an empath?
Yeah. I say this: self-respect is the only boundary you'll ever need. So as long as I'm respecting myself and respecting others, that's my primary boundary. And if I've crossed a boundary accidentally, then of course I'll acknowledge it, as we've already talked about. And what I'll do is, and as far as social media is concerned, yeah, no one gets to be hateful to me or other people on my feed. I will not... As you know, the bigger you grow, the more people want access to you. So I don't do free readings. I don't answer one questions. I don't do any of that. You know, it's like, if you want to work with me, you want to work with me. So, you know, those DMs, I immediately will direct to my website and be very gracious. I mean, it's okay. Everyone is entitled to see if you're willing to do that. And that's okay too. So I don't judge it. But you know, yeah, there, I think we have to have boundaries here. We have to go, okay. And for me, the baseline of the boundary is respect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree. And also with social media, I absorb so much energy on there. Even if it's all positive, happy quotes that I follow, it's too much. So I have
Sag,
this rule.
Sag things.
Oh, Sag things.
We absorb everything. Yeah.
I post and run on Lightworkers Lounge. I can't read the comments. I can't read DMs. I can't. Even if they're all super nice comments, like, this is a great quote. Thanks for the advice. I just, it's feelings overload. So I don't respond to any. And sometimes people send me screenshots.
Scorpio things. Scorpio things too. Yeah, Scorpio Sag things.
People will send me screenshots like, oh, you're getting demolished in your comment section. And I'm like, what I don't know doesn't hurt me. I don't. Maybe that's being ignorant, but it's just a boundary I have with myself.
Well, and I think that could go back to the respect part. Like, if people are demolishing you, are they being respectful? And you're not willing to accept it. You know, you're just not willing to do it. Mm-hmm. And so people, people are going to do what they do. And we part of the self-respect is not taking it personal. We can't do anything about it. And like I said, if you haven't been disrespectful, if you haven't been unkind, if you haven't been hateful, then those people are just doing what they do.
Yeah, they're just healing. They're using me as a projection for something inside of them, which is definitely, that definitely helps me get over the mean comments. But have you ever had shit for country fried kundalini? That's my favorite phrase, but now that we're talking about it, I can imagine people being like, kundalini is a sacred energy source. How dare you fry it in country gravy?
I know, right? No, actually, that's one thing no one has ever... I was on GoDaddy recently because I have that website and that website's like worth $1,000. It's bizarre. He told me about my web portfolio that I have because I'll go and get websites when I get inspired by a word or a phrase or something. I'll just go and buy the website. And he said that was one of the most expensive websites I own. So I thought that our domains, really not websites, it's a domain. So I'll register domains. And so that tickled me that I was like, oh, okay. Like that's good. Okay. I asked him why. He said, because the word kundalini is trending. So right now it's worth a lot of money. So wow. I thought that was fascinating. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Who knew? Who knew? Right. Yeah. No one has ever come at me for that. And I wouldn't back down because my thought is like, you know, in fact, you know, Hinduism and Buddhism has been thrown out into the world. And so they gave it to the world. You know, they said, mm-hmm. here, do what you will with this. So a lot of people don't feel like it's necessarily appropriation from that perspective because it's just, and it's ancient. I mean, Kundalini is an ancient, ancient term. And again, anyone who makes any of this too precious, of course, sacred is from where you're standing. For me, I'm not looking to take away the sacredness of it, but I am looking to see the intersection of the sacred and the profane. And are they not the same thing? So,
yeah. And I think it also draws more people into it when you bring some lighthearted energy to it. The people who aren't super into spirituality yet will be like, hey, what's this country fried kundalini all about?
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you also do dream interpretation. That is my favorite thing. How did you do that?
It's so interesting. You're the second person this week. I was thinking of getting rid of that reading because I don't get it very often. And it was funny because you're the second person to bring it up this week. It's, you know, I'll say this. I have a lot of experience with... I don't want to put it just with symbols. I mean, from the get-go, I was in sixth grade studying poetry. I became obsessed with poetry in the sixth grade and looking at symbols and started listening to music. I remember REM releasing, what was the song? Something religion. Anyway, Losing My Religion. And the video of that just struck me. And I was like, what does all of this mean? What does this imagery mean? And they're looking at paintings, you know, Renaissance paintings, medieval paintings, going, what are these symbols? Why are they drawing this? And just asking those questions. And so diving in very young. And so, and I find that the collective consciousness holds a lot of information. And those symbols are relatively the same across the board for each of us. They represent some form of need for freedom, some form of individual trauma release, some form of thing like that. So it's interesting to tune in and go, okay, this is what this dream could potentially mean for you.
In one of my past relationships, everything was fine. It was smooth, but my soul knew I wasn't supposed to be in it. And all of my dreams throughout the duration of that relationship, all of them took place at night and winter time.
Fascinating. See?
Depression.
Love that. Yeah. Well, and feeling withdrawn, ooh, I would say.
Very.
Feeling like, and exposed to the elements potentially too, like in the dark and in the cold.
Wow. So true. You know, a lot of people I've noticed since the great conjunction on December 21st, people have been having multiple dreams a night. It's what a lot of my clients have been telling me, and me too.
Well, I mean, Jupiter could add to that. I mean, definitely. I mean, because it expands everything and it's Aquarius. So it can be mind stuff. You know, people think of dreams as being more Piscean, but but we forget too that Neptune is in Pisces right now doing a lot of things. So, you know, not a lot of people talk about that because it's such a soft planet. You know, I actually think Neptune is trans. Hello, it's a fish. It's neither male or female. So Neptune to me, people are like, masculine planets. Venus is the only soft one, or the feminine in the moon. I'm like, no, Neptune. It's like, Neptune is trans, boo. I was like, Neptune's not male or female. Like,
oh, I love that. So
no one's really looking at that as much. I think part of the virus is connected to Neptune because that can be connected to that energy as well. So, you know, so last year we had Neptune in its home sign and we had Saturn is his home sign. So that was doing a lot of things. And at one point in time, they squared each other. So there's a lot of stuff. Well, before that, they would have squared each other in Sag, but still leading up to it. So,
Do you think it was intentional that we booked this podcast recording on a Capricorn new moon?
I know. I think it was definitely, And it's funny, people, Capricorn, Saturn things, it makes things real. So it really is this moon. From my perspective, for those that are listening and even going forward, it's shit is getting real. We can't ignore it. Like, we have to confront things head on. So
I keep having dreams of a civil war.
So I would say actually, because I mean, it depends. Some dreams are prophetic. Some dreams are more about us. I would first look at, if I had a dream about a civil war personally, I would first look at where do I hold cognitive dissonance? Where within me is there a conflict? Because if I can resolve the conflict within myself, then I can support the resolution of the conflict in others.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, it could also just be being exposed to what's going on with our government system. I mean, that's hard to escape.
And picking up on the collective unconscious and then having that. But think about it. How much cognitive dissonance is within the collective unconscious? You had people holding Black Lives Matter, but Blue Lives Matter flags and going into the Capitol and looking at taking people hostage and doing, I mean, a lot of it turned into a circus. But some of those people were not, even though they were part of the circus, had malintent. And so, you know, but still they talk about respecting our country's structure and how all of that, how it works while at the same time disregarding it. So that's cognitive dissonance right there, you know, there's a lot of it floating around right now.
Our dream space can, a lot of people think, I don't even know what my wounds are, what childhood things I need to let go. Your dreams, they can paint a really vivid picture of the things you need to let go or work on.
And you can start each night with the intention to do that. You can say, please help me process whatever I need to process tonight as I sleep.
Mm-hmm. I once read in some type of dream interpretations book that nightmares are actually a good thing. It's your subconscious cleaning house. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I think all dreams are a subconscious cleaning house in some fashion. It's interesting, though. There another research, being a research that came up with dreams, is that most people have more nightmares than pleasant dreams, which is interesting because the thought was is that most people have more unresolved things than not. Yeah. So it's showing up through the nightmares. Yeah, it's interesting. And it holds true for me sometimes. We remember those more visceral things. So remember those nightmares, the things that wake us up, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Do you have any dream patterns of things that pop up in your dreams?
So yeah, I haven't had them in a while. I have had some. So interesting enough, I'll just use one. When I broke up with my ex of 5 years, a few years ago, I kept having dreams where he would find me out like shopping, like in the grocery store, or whatever. Like he would find me down the aisle or things like that. It's almost like he was looking to reach out. So he would find me that way. Interesting enough. And it was interesting because then he confirmed it because he texted me just out of the blue showing me that like Walmart had some of my favorite things. And they carried them, which I never knew because I didn't shop there very often. So I laughed. I was like, well, that's interesting. There's a little confirmation that that's happening. And then, so that was a repeating pattern for like a year or two after a breakup. And then, but personally, a pattern has been, I dreamed a lot of serial killers, like I'm being chased. Wow. And my favorite one actually came a month after leaving my ex, where I was the detective and the serial killer. So I was hunting myself in the dream.
Whoa. Now that's prophetic. That's so, I love how you're like, my favorite serial killer dream is when I almost died.
From killing myself, right? Like, so it was interesting. I remember going to the crime scene in the dream and remembering how it was done. And then having this moment was, I think I'm this person. I think I'm, and then and remembering me being the killer. So I was the killer and the person trying to figure out the killer. Speaking of cognitive dissonance.
Wow. Look at that. You know, aside from Civil War, before that, I've been having dreams of mobs, like gangsters chasing me. I bet that manifests as me getting attacked on social media. I feel like there's gangs up against me.
Yeah, absolutely. And potentially, excuse me, anticipating it. Is this going to happen?
Yeah.
Because as we show up more in the world, there's that possibility.
Yeah. And you know what I need to work on? Because for every one person, there's 100 such kind people who say the nicest things to me and encourage me and send me random emails saying, you've changed my life. Please don't ever stop the podcast. And it's like, why can't I remember these people as well as I do the bad ones?
Do you want to know why?
Yes.
So for anyone out there, here's the reason why. So this is brain science. I didn't make this up. The brain has a natural negativity bias. So it's an inclination to look at what's wrong because one of the primary modes of our brain is to keep us alive. So it's looking at the threats or the potential threats and going, I need to fix that threat because what it wants to do is regulate the potential threat. So those people that come after us, the brain can very easily perceive it as that threat, as a negative experience. And so our brain will immediately go into a circle and a cycle of how can I fix this? What do I need to do to change this? How can I be safe? How can I make myself safe? And so this is where our consciousness comes in to go, I'm not going to take that personal. I'm not threatened by this. It has nothing to do with me. And then we move on.
Wow, Christian. Powerful. Truth bomb. Yeah. I love that. You know, I was listening to Mark Grove's podcast the other day, and he said that, so we're still lab rats, essentially, with social media. We don't really know how it's physically or emotionally affecting us, but he's got almost 1 million followers. And he was saying that we are not humanly made to answer or even read comments from 10,000 people. Like, it is just not
even have that many contacts. I think there was a research study many years ago that was instigated by Facebook that you can really only have that really the threshold, and they even said this is too high, is 100 people that you can consider as close. And really, I think they narrowed it down to like your tight circle can only really hold 10.
Oh, you just made my Scorpio cringe. 100 people close?
Well, but that's why I said they narrowed it down even more. Exactly. I mean, my Venus in Scorpio is like, try and make that three, bitch.
Yeah, one and done.
Yeah, or even that. I've tried to make it one. That hasn't happened. I've been able to do like maybe three. Well, and it's funny for me, it cycles. You know, I have my go-tos, but there are people that come into my life that I'm close with for many years. And then for whatever reason, we drift apart and then we come back, you know, we come back together. So there are those people too. But yeah, ultimately speaking, there's only so many people that I would call in the middle of the night. Or this is a good Scorpio quote. I love this one. It's like, friends help you move. Best friends help you move dead bodies.
Oh, what in the Scorpio sun, moon, rising?
So I always keep those people who help me move dead bodies close.
Hell yeah. Wow. Do you think it's our Mercury's and Sag that help us handle the 30,000 plus people on social media?
I'm going to say, yeah, Mercury and Sag tend to have a really amazing sense of humor. And what I've learned, this dawned on me actually like a decade ago, is that I was like, oh, my sense of humor is a tool. Like, I have to use this because again, I can be very Saturnine through my Saturn in Virgo and my Capricorn.
Oh, your Mars is in Capricorn too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. But thankfully it's in the seventh house. And yeah. For those that don't know, Mars and Capricorn is the general. And I have dated, pretty much every boyfriend that I've dated has been in the military or at some point in time. So
astrology has yet to prove me wrong.
So yeah, Mars and Capricorn, the general in the seventh house would also be that I've also been very attracted to very alpha men, which is true as well. Yeah. So alphas and so forth. So yeah. So, but if I get caught up in the seriousness of things, I get stuck very quickly. So I have to bring humor to it all the time. And I've learned to use that consistently.
Oh, and that shows up on social media. If somebody kind of attacks you or says something about what you post, how you're like, okay, let's approach this as a Capricorn in the seventh house and talk it out. Talk it out. My
that can
Mars,
be it.
My Mars is in Aries. So when I get...
Oh, fun.
I FaceTime people. I video call them and they always block me because I'm like, let's talk face to face. I don't want to use my thumbs. I want to talk. Right? I wish we were in person.
So Levitsi, you're like me. You're the confronter, not the avoider, which is great.
100%.
Yeah. So I'll use an example there. So I had someone come at me. So I had posted the Simpson memes where one of Marge's sisters, as a youngster inside of a pentagram, and it was like me trying to manifest my forever dick that will wreck my uterus. And so that was the meme, right? And so I had this young man come at me through the comments. It's funny, he deleted his comment after I put mine next to it. He said, I'm unfollowing you. One day you are this deep spiritual teacher, and the next day you're a thought. Like that hoe over there, right? I'm a thought. So my response to him was, oh my God, thank you for calling me a thought.
Please tell me you pinned that comment so everybody
can. You know what? I tried to, but he deleted it within moments after I posted it. And I was like, damn, I didn't even screenshot it. I thought I had screenshot it and I can't find it on my phone anywhere. That was so sad because I was like, oh, that was such a wonderful moment where I just chose very consciously and didn't feel like I needed to take it personal. I was like, have fun with that. I was like, have you not been following me for years? Like, I talk about cosmic cock. I talk about sexuality. I talk about how I don't talk about tantra, but definitely I point in direction of sexuality and spirituality being no different, just like form and spirituality is no different. No, everything is the same ultimately. And to separate it is just the ego coming in and going, this is more superior and this is more inferior. And I have to separate and create a dualistic mindset, which is again, completely against what spirituality points to, which is the wholeness, which is home. Which is essentially being safe in who we are. So
yes, I'm so glad this conversation took a turn towards social media because I think a lot of people, not just us with the thousands of followers, but everybody is feeling it in a sense because of just the political environment in the U.S. right now. And it feels like anybody who has an opinion, they either hide it because they're afraid of being attacked or everybody's just so sensitive on social media right now.
Yeah. And my thought is I don't talk politics a lot. I occasionally post things that tickle me, but, and people still, it's probably, if you look at my stories, it's still very enigmatic. People are like, wait, is he supporting this or not? Which I kind of keep on purpose. I kind of do it that way on purpose. Normally I'm not the trickster. I'm not the contrarian, but in that way I am sometimes very much so purposeful. But I'll say this, everything I do, I want to point towards the truth. Again, that Sag, right? The Sag energy. Like I want to point toward, and even that Scorpio, like what's the depth of the truth? Where can we go into the depths? What is really the issue here? What's happening behind the scenes? And push it up to the surface. And so I don't talk politics because very quickly it gets derisive. What I want to talk about is what's real. What's real and how does the individual approach reality? So I like to point it back to, hey guys, let's focus on our personal, interpersonal awareness, because the mob mentality isn't getting us anywhere. The I'm right, you're wrong isn't getting us anywhere.
Cancel culture.
All of that. Let's point to how you, the individual, regardless of what your views are, can clarify your own vision for your own wellness and for your own wholeness. Well, really, you're already whole. How do you recognize that? And how do you recognize that you're part of the wholeness? Mm-hmm. So as Ram Dass says, we're just all walking each other home. To me, the word home is also can replace we're all walking into wholeness. Ooh. So,
you know, I posted a quote on Lightworkers Lounge the other day that said, defensiveness shows a lack of belief in your truth. I think that's kind of like what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you have to fight it tooth and nail, then my question is, who are you trying to convince, me or you?
Ooh, bars. Bars. Me or you. Christian, of course, too, Mercury's the Sag go over time. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's been delightful. We guys and whoever's like, we just scratched the surface. This is like a fingernail clipping. This is not even the whole body of things. Like we did not even get to go very far. So no, yeah,
we're coming at you live from North, and I'm in South Carolina.
There you go.
We are the country clairvoyants.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell them, where can they find you?
So you can find me on my website, countryclairvoyant.com, or you can Google me, Christian B. West, Christian Bradley West. Actually, it's christianbwest.com too. You can find me on Instagram as The Country Clairvoyant. You can find me on Twitter as Christian B. West. So basically, you can find me, if you Google Christian Bradley West or Christian B. West, you'll find me. It's hard to not. I've been doing, the art kind of helped the Google algorithm for years because I was already showing up. For years before they changed the algorithm, I was all proud. I was like, oh, Christian B. West has 3 pages and it's all my art and all articles about me. But then they changed it and now it talks a lot about like the Christian West because apparently Christians are Googling things that more than they're Googling my name, right? So they're Googling about Christian things. So it's about the Christian West and the history of Christianity moving West. So that's what you get after like the page 1.5. So, but anyway, no. Yeah.
You're associated with that. I love it.
It's okay. Literally Christian Bradley West. If you read my name, I love it. It's Christ child from the broad meadow of the West. So
that's going back cool.
to full circle with the name. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that.
Yeah. So interesting stuff.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And you got to come back on the show because we just scratched the surface.
I'm here for it. So, all right, love. Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, I love him. Isn't his energy so good? And he's so smart and knowledgeable. He's got like the personality and the voice and the way of communicating that you can just sit and talk and listen to him for so long, right? I love it. So if you guys want to work with Christian, be sure to visit his website, thecountryclairvoyant.com. Find him on Instagram at thecountryclairvoyant. And all this will be in the show notes as well. You guys, I love you. Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Lightworkers Lounge. If you haven't already joined us for Friday bonus chats, every Friday we have a little 20-minute energetic update that I give. You can go to lightworkerslounge.podbean.com and click on any Friday bonus chat to subscribe. Also, I am doing relationship synastry readings. And for the month of February, I'm offering them at 50% off using code LOVE50 at checkout. Why am I doing this? Because I just graduated from synastry school and I really want to put my new knowledge into practice. And what better way than to practice with my community, you. So if you would like a relationship synastry reading in astrology, this is where I put two birth charts together to create one. Talk about your strengths and weaknesses. For all the details, go to lightworkers-lounge.com and click on birth chart readings. Okay, I'm going to end this podcast with the song that plays in my mind every time I see Christian's post on Instagram. It's total country fried kundalini. This song is called The Get Up by Blanco Brown, which, by the way, he is such a dope artist. Have you ever heard this man's voice? You can find this song and all songs featured on the show, on our Instagram, on our Spotify playlist of the month. Go to Spotify and search Lightworkers Lounge playlist of the month, and you can find this song and all songs featured. I will see you guys next week on the show and all of our premium plan subscribers this Friday. Bye.
I wanna do the two-step, then cowboy boogie. Grab a sweetheart and spin out with him. Do the hold down and get into it. Take it to the left now and dip with it. Don't throw down, take a sip with it. And lean back, put your hips in it. Let's have some fun. To the left now. To the right. Now take your left hand and put it on your side. Gonna roll your shoulders, do the slip and slide. This next part's my favorite part, cause it's time to shine. Gonna do the two-step, then cowboy boogie. Grab a sweetheart and spin out with him. Do the hold down and get into it. Take it to the left now and dip with it. Gonna throw down, take a sip with it. And lean back, put your hips in it. It's simple, you can do it. Slide to the left, slide to the right. Now cool down, have a good time. Slide to the left, slide to the right. Do the butterfly.